Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. So as you know, we do lots of stuff with the military, and this is the first time we've ever done anything with women. So this is wonderful. We have Sandy Gormley with us, and we have Linda D'Angelo, and they both took an honor flight that was all female. And so we're going to talk to each one of them and to kind of get their story and how the honor flight was. Nice to meet both of you ladies. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sandy, let's start with you. Just kind of tell me your story about your service.
I joined the Navy in my senior year of college because they offered to pay for it, and I had to serve 2 years. So I served from 64 to 66 at the United States Naval Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland, uh-huh. where the presidents go.
Yes.
It was the year after Kennedy was assassinated. So things in Vietnam hadn't ramped up yet, but Vietnam was getting ready to do so. So I took care of a lot of people that were injured there, but it took them a long time to get to the East Coast because, you know, it was a long flight. So I met my husband there. My son was born in the Naval Hospital, and we had 2 VA loans. I got my master's degree on the GI Bill. It was a great experience. I can't say that I regret anything that I did with the military.
That's wonderful. And I see in the notes here that to you, that was also sort of the pinnacle of your nursing career.
Yes.
Yeah. What was that like taking care of injured soldiers from Vietnam?
Well, I was in an enlisted men's surgery. So we had 27 bed wards, open wards. I could see everyone at the same time. And the sickest ones we would put close to the desk where we could, you know, take care of them easily. And as they got better, they would move out. And, of course, sailors are used to helping one another. They mm-hmm. live in close quarters on yeah. ships. So if someone was sicker than the other, the one that felt better would get up and help his buddy.
Wow.
They had to clean the wards, swab the decks. We used Navy terms for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, dust and keep things in order. It was like they aren't a ship, except they were in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we were educated at Newport. You know,
yeah.
when I was getting indoctrinated to the Navy, I said, you know, everything is very similar to what they would be doing if they were able to work. And they had to be 100% recuperated before they could go back to work. We also took care of Marines, and they were the ones that had tragic injuries in Vietnam. And I can't even describe some of them because they're just brutal. Tripping over landmines and that sort of thing, if you can imagine. So it took a long time to get them out of the hospital, if they even made it out of the hospital. But we worked very hard.
Yeah. I think that anyone, I am a pretty good caretaker. I do hospice volunteering now, but anything blood and guts, I'm out. I don't even like having my own blood taken. So I think people like you have something special already. But talk a little bit about when confronted with those sort of horrific injuries, how you found another gear to be able to care for those men and keep going.
Well, life is important, and saving lives is really important. And that's why I became a nurse. Is to take care of people and help them get well. The worse the injuries, the harder we worked.
Mm.
But the corpsmen were well-trained and highly motivated. We also trained the corpsmen to go with the Marine platoons back to Vietnam. So they were very loyal to their compadres, even though it was 2 different branches of the Navy. Marines don't like to admit they're the amphibious force of the Navy, but the Navy takes good care of them.
Yeah. And Linda, tell me about your service.
Well, I enlisted because I was raised in a small town in rural Illinois. I had Bond County, Greenville.
I know Greenville.
Yeah. Greenville. So I had not been out of the county very much all of my growing up years. I did have an opportunity to go to nursing school, but I'd always been enamored by the uniforms. Mm. And Vietnam was ramping up. I had a difficult work situation, and I saw enlistment as an opportunity to travel, to see the world, and to be of service. So I said, I will. Mm-hmm. My first assignment, I requested the recruiter not send me to Scott because it was only 40 miles from home.
You need to get away from home.
And he chuckled and said, well, I'll send you to Hill Air Force Base, Utah. Well, I thought that was just fine. I'd never seen the mountains or snow out there like that. So it was a great start.
Yeah.
While I was there, I got sent to flight nursing school down at Brooks. So I was a flight nurse and could fly on an airplane. I had never been on an airplane. I didn't know I was airsick every time took off. I was shortly transferred to Japan, to Tachikawa Airport, Air Base, outside of Yokota. It was a MAC hospital, an air transport hospital for wounded Vietnam soldiers. They also provided all the care, hospital care, for all of Japan. And we had many bases up and down the coast of Japan. So we had lots of traffic through the hospital, some of which was just medical support, but some of which was airplanes coming in from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. How were the honor flights? I know off the air, Linda, you said that they were magnificent.
They were magnificent. Yeah. I cannot say enough about the organization, the volunteers, the number of people who came out. I think Sandy probably is a better storyteller than me, but we were met at the airport with a host of volunteers, snacks, people in various colored shirts who all had different kinds of tasks, making sure we had water and name tags and badges and all that stuff, and tickets to get on the airplane. We were required to have a guardian come with us, and that could be a family member or a friend. I had always wanted to be a buddy or a guardian, but I got too old. They have an age limit. So I asked an individual that I have worked with very closely where I live, which is Friendship Village. Mm-hmm. And it's the wellness coordinator, Colleen Pratt. She leads all the classes that I do to stay well and healthy. She has two sons who are Army. And so she went as my guardian. But there were lots of other volunteers. Doctors, nurses, I just can't name them all. They had all of the things that you would require for people who are older, who are going to spend a whole day away from home in 95-degree weather, walking through memorials and seeing the sights, experiencing some feelings, seeing ceremonies, a flag folding ceremony at the Marine Memorial. I'd never seen that. I'd never been to the Marine Memorial. The changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. The Women's Memorial, which I had seen from the outside years ago, but which is now complete with the women's story. And just a tidbit of history, women weren't officially admitted to the military until June the 12th, which was the day we went,
right.
1948. So there's a whole history there. But women have served in the armed forces mm-hmm. in various capacities mm-hmm. long before that, ferrying airplanes across mm-hmm. the U.S. to get them to war.
I just saw a story about those ladies.
Yes.
Does anything stand out to you from your day that was the most impactful to you personally?
Mail call. They do mail call on the way home. Secretly. People have been contacted, friends, families, service organizations, Boy Scout troops, DAR organizations, and asked to write notes, personal notes to veterans. And so on the plane on the way home, we had mail call. And every veteran on that flight got a big
Wow.
Envelope that was full mm-hmm. of notes and letters from people across the country from every walk of life, including our friends and family who secretly were working wow. behind the scenes.
That's wonderful.
To write notes.
So wonderful.
It was very meaningful.
Sandy, how about you? Tell me about your day.
Well, I guess I started my summary of the day with the way it ended, because when we came off the plane, there were people everywhere at the airport saying, "Welcome home and thank you for your service." And I was in tears. It was like, oh, you know, people said, "Don't cry. You're going to make me cry." But I couldn't figure out why I got so emotional. And then I remembered that being in the Vietnam era, nobody said welcome home and nobody said thank you for your service to Vietnam people that were serving in Vietnam when they came home. And finally, after 60 years, we heard it. We all heard it. And it just meant so much. The airport from the gate, we were at probably the farthest gate away from the entrance. All the way through, there were people on both sides of the airport. All of our family had signs with our names on them, you know, but there were how many people? Just hundreds of people. I don't know how they all got there, if they were just there waiting for flights. Well, of course, they were family and friends, too. And then as we got to the end, they had a bagpipe band playing, and it was just...
It's overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Honor Guard, Boy Scout troops, the nurse corps, the nurse uniform group that dresses up in capes and white hats and stuff were there in force with roses for all the nurses that were coming out. It was very emotional. And I'll just say I was one of those people who landed at Travis Air Force Base and was told, put your civvies on, don't travel in your uniform, don't tell anybody where you've been or what you've seen.
Was that a surprise to you at the time, or did you kind of know that's the way things were going?
I really didn't know. I spent 4.5 years in Japan. I had been home a couple times, family visits, back to go. I have younger siblings, and they were seeing Kent State and marching and burning draft cards and all of what was going on back here. But we really were not exposed to that at all. So my husband and I came back from overseas. We both took advantage of the GI Bill and went back to school and went to work. We didn't, in the beginning, for years and years, we never talked about our experiences. As we got older, we began to support veterans groups and be around other veterans, joined the Legion, and began to participate in more activity. But it was a long time coming.
So my friend Rachel over here is semi-obsessed with Japan. She goes several times per year. What was Japan like in that era?
We spent most of our time on the base, in the hospital. But there was opportunity to travel, see the country. I think for the most part, the Japanese civilians that we worked with were friendly and supportive, but during those years in 73, we were becoming persona non grata in Japan, and it was not unusual to drive the base perimeter roads and have people throw things over the fence at us, you know, food and trash and that sort of thing. But
it's amazing. Amazing stories.
I'm glad I went. Yeah. I learned a lot. I grew up.
Yes.
I did see the trauma of war. I saw those horribly injured soldiers.
So imagine if anyone out there has the chance to go on an honor flight, either as an honoree or as a guardian, do it.
Please do it. Please do it, I'd say.
Yeah,
and I would also encourage people to consider the military as a career, especially the medical field. I think a lot of people don't want to fight. They don't want to carry a gun or something like that. But I think the medical service was very rewarding for me.
And for me.
So,
and for my guardian, who has two sons that were Army, I mean, one has served and is out and working productively. The other one's accomplishing great things in the Army, and in addition to getting skills that will take him forward.
That's wonderful.
Well, on behalf of all of us and everyone in my audience, again, thank you for your service.
Thank you You're welcome. Inviting us.
You're welcome.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On KMOX. Well, that was super cool.
That was amazing.
Very cool.
Very, very cool to hear their stories.
Yeah, just the way the world has changed, you know. When we were finished and they were getting up and leaving, they said that we had pregnant pilots and, you know, all these different military women, and said when it was us, it was just nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, during my lifetime, they're talking about the years I was born. So just in my lifetime, that's how much things have changed.
Man, Honor Flight is so cool.
That yes.
is such an amazing idea.
Yes.
And like they were saying before we started, I don't know if this made it to the air, only been around for the past 20 years.
Which is shocking to me. I mean, I've been around for 25, and I thought they'd been around the whole time and years before that. So it's not that old.
No.
But a really, really great way to honor those who have served.
Yes.
I mean, it's also such a cool, different story.
Yeah.
For the two of them, right?
Yeah.
It's a completely different experience. Not that none are better than the others.
Right.
That's just a story and a view of it that most of us probably haven't heard.
Yeah.
I know I hadn't.
I love Linda's story that she wanted to get out of Greenville and they sent her to Utah.
Yeah.
And they sent her to Japan.
Yeah. Well, you got out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine being my dad growing up in Benton, Illinois.
Yeah.
With a ninth grade education, 17 years old, and suddenly you're in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Yeah. I found out, by the way, just this weekend, talking to my mom, because your dad and my grandfather on my mom's side are basically the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the same thing in that he went in early and mm-hmm. fudged his age to get in. It wasn't as early, I don't think, as your dad, but it was the same idea. Like, that's how those guys were doing it.
Yeah, the story is my dad found my grandpa drunk at a poker game, which was not hard to do, and got him to sign off. And my dad was a little dude. He was like 520 pounds.
Man.
When he went in. Yeah.
That's not, you know what? That's funny. That's possible. I bet you that was what my dad was when he went into the Army during Vietnam.
Yeah.
He was a little guy.
Yeah.
Like in high school, wrestling at like 110 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I think about this morning?
Hmm.
I don't know if anyone else in the world is like this. I have, it sounds so stupid to even say, I have a trash can in my kitchen. And it's my main trash can. And it's the classic, step on it, it opens its mouth, you throw the trash in. There's nothing interesting about it. But I sort of track my week. Like, today I took the trash out. I hate taking the trash out. I don't know what it is about it. I just hate it. And so I started a new trash can. And the world is my oyster.
Yeah, okay.
Everything
I know
fits.
Exactly how you feel.
It's like I
don't have to keep smashing it down.
Right.
Yeah.
I threw an empty milk can in there, and I'm just like, there's so much room.
Dude, I do the same thing when I feed Lucy in the mornings. If I just took the trash out the night before, I'm like, let me throw that away for you, ma'am. Like, it's fun at that point to use the trash
can. I almost physically get in it and jam it down so I don't have to take the trash out.
Yeah. But then, you're just being more efficient,
then
Dave.
By the time you take it out...
Can't get it out.
You can't get it out. Exactly.
Yeah. It's just being efficient, Dave. You're making maximum use of each bag.
Am I the only one who, like... There are certain things they have to go in the kitchen trash can. They cannot go in the bathroom trash can.
Hmm, like what?
Like, I don't know. Just like anything that's not bathroom trash.
Yeah, I feel you.
It can't be put... I mean, I know it's all going to the same place, but ultimately, you got to put it in the right trash can or else the world is upside down. I'm a loser
and the user, so is out. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 1041 FM KMOX 233. We are off Thursday because of the Cardinals have a 1-10 game, but we are going to do a podcast about an hour, give or take. And so be looking for that. We'll remind you again tomorrow, but that's going to drop on Thursday morning.
Sure, we could. Thursday morning. I mean, we can do Thursday morning. We can do afternoon.
Is it amazing to you, Andrew, that I know so little about how this thing works?
No, because it's like, it's not something that you're supposed to know about.
Okay, good.
You know?
Dave's like, whew.
Yeah, fine.
And there's no real like need for you to know about any of it, or, you know.
Probably a good need for me not to.
You don't
want me involved in stuff I don't know what I'm talking about.
Could be argued.
Yeah. Anyone know what bibliotherapy is?
Yes.
Treated
books.
You get hit with books on the back really hard.
Somebody knocks like your books out of your hands at school.
Nope. It's just reading.
Just reading to people.
But now it's caught on that you need bibliotherapy.
Okay. So just,
man,
just
I really
need someone. I just we don't need more names for things.
Like, I know this is like
you always say, yeah. This generation.
But was it this? Is that a new generation thing or is that a doctor's thing? Like
it's a doctor thing.
Yeah. Like okay, we can just say you know what would be really helpful for you is if we could have people read to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it you reading for yourself too?
It's both.
It's both.
It's primarily you reading for yourself.
Okay. Well, then we could just call it that.
Yeah.
You should, for your own health, you should read some.
I wonder how many parents are reading to their little kids nowadays.
Oh,
it's a good question.
It's the, just in experience, it's the number one thing you can do for little ones.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did.
I miss it.
We did for our daughter Shannon and. I'm kidding. I mean, like from day one, like even when she couldn't really speak much or understand words, like just getting that time and it teaches language skills, comprehension. They put stories together with pictures.
Okay. Don't go after me. Genuine question. I know it's a little stupid, but it's a genuine question.
All right.
How do you read? No. Do you see a huge difference between like you reading to your kids or you putting on like a YouTube video of
yes.
someone reading to your kids.
They like, both have value. It's better in person.
Okay.
Because they're also reading off of like your tone of voice. You're telling like, and it's your connection to them too. So there's more than it's more.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we also allowed, we weren't the people that are like, you're never going to watch TV. No, our kid learned a lot of language from computer software programs that taught reading to Sesame Street and things along those lines. So no, they're all useful. They're all helpful. But they obviously shouldn't replace like in-person time.
Mm-hmm. It's great bonding.
In-person time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just talking about this. We all had dinner together on Father's Day and just laughing about all the different books that we remember. Do you guys, is it anything for you? I love you forever. I something.
I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be.
Yes. The creepy-ass one?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great to revisit as an adult because it's like, what's going on here? But it's a sweet book at the same time.
Yeah, we read it to both the kids. You won't know about this because you don't know, like, even Johnny Appleseed Wheels. In this book,
this book is about emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd probably skip that one.
Yeah, it's the thing that makes you feel hot inside.
I call that anger.
Things that make you feel mad, you know, emotions.
Yeah.
The mom is always taking care of her son. What is it again? I'm there for you always.
I love you forever. I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be.
There you go.
That's the book?
I think it's just called
just
I Love
line?
You Forever,
oh, okay.
But it's
okay,
the
okay,
line
okay,
they repeat
okay.
it over
but
and over.
But then at the end, his mom is struggling, and for some reason, the kid doesn't come through the door. He climbs through her bedroom window
yeah.
and holds her in a chair and rocks her.
Which is very sweet, but it is weird that he comes through the window.
Both my kids were like,
this is some Gypsy Rose
stuff. Why did this guy come through the door? Why didn't he call his mom and say he's coming over? Why has he got to surprise her? This is creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, little kids, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's really odd.
It's called a creative choice, kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to evoke an emotional response.
Wheels, what's the news about my favorite TV show?
Did you see?
No.
The Pit's coming back.
Oh, yes.
Did you see?
I didn't see when or anything.
No, I didn't see exactly when either, but like, how excited do you guys get about something like that? Like a show like this? This is going to be your future career.
Yeah, because I don't have many. I don't have many shows.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, so this must be like big news that, you know, Noah Wiley's back doing doctor stuff.
Yeah. But it's like, how can you know? It's like I can't get excited for it. It's like I'll be excited when it's out.
So you don't anticipate anything?
Not really, because like you do this a lot in the office. You'll be like, did you hear they're making a talking dog movie? And I'm like, I don't care. Like I'll go.
That's not what I would say.
See the talking dog movie, but I don't care that they're making it. Like, I'll wake me up when it's out and I can watch it. Like, I don't really care about that it's being created. Like, you know, I'll get excited when I'm like driving to the movie theater to see it.
See, that's a very Wheeler answer.
It is. It's like probably the most Wheeler thing about me.
I say it's the only thing that you're like that about.
It's the only thing that we are reversed on, right?
It's like being around you.
Like when we order pizza, it's like, can't wait for that pizza.
I know.
He's checking his clock and he's looking at the next.
And Wheeler, real soon.
And Wheeler does get excited about, like, you know, if they're making like a cool new movie or whatever.
The anticipation.
Like the anticipation. It's like the only way he and I are reversed.
It's funny, isn't it?
I order a burrito at Rosalita's and I'm like, I can't wait for my burrito to disappear.
In fairness, a lot of those things are disappointing, though. Like the projects that we're talking about, like a big new Star Wars movie or whatever. Like, a lot of times they are a disappointment. And I think that's the sports fan in me, though. Because a big thing about like what I've done for 30 years is the off season's as big as the season. You're always like, what's next? What's coming? What are they going to do? What are they going to trade? What are they going to sign? And I think that I'm the same way when it comes to all entertainment.
But you know what? I do feel that way about like the sports offseason. Like, I love following like the NFL offseason and stuff and all the transactions. And so I'm not, when it comes to like sports, I'm not like, wake me up when they're on the field or whatever. I am like really interested in that stuff.
It's funny you brought up Star Wars. I wrote something down last night. I was in the zone. I don't know exactly why I wrote this down, but I wrote down, George Lucas is a hack.
He kind of is.
You don't remember what made you think of this?
No.
To be clear, he is arguably like the biggest hack in the history of the Earth.
Granted.
He had one of the greatest sci-fi ideas of all time.
Yeah.
And imagined
there was a war in space?
And imagined a great universe. But obviously, a lot of that movie is based on other things. I mean, he's even said it's based on the fall of the Roman Empire.
Based
on
his real life.
Right, right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Jar Jar was his neighbor.
But the originals were great in the time that they were because we didn't have the ability to get better than that, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they made, 20 years later, they made the, you know, episodes 1, 2, and 3, you were like, oh, he's not very good at this. He has, again, great universe, great imagination,
he's
got
racist.
A lot of, oh my God, it's always, like the bad guys are like, always Asian sounding, or the dumb guys, Jar Jar sounds like, what did they say he sounded like? Jamaican is what people would argue, like it gave all the bad guys had accents that would seem like, you know, like accents that are not British or American.
Right. Yeah.
And then all the good guys were British American
and
you know.
Questionable like alien designs and just kind of like
right.
Just kind of like, what did he mean by that?
But I would also say that I
like you more than you guys do.
No, but think about it, Dave. Like think about in the 70s that was not an uncommon thing. It's like and this is not a defense, it's just like that was not a thing that people talked about or thought about in that time. Like what's his name that did the stupid movies where he would pretend to be a Japanese guy, Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. That's a music guy.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis.
And he married his cousin.
But like
that guy had so many problems.
Yeah, a lot going on.
We see that now. We're like, wow, that is super racist because it is.
Yeah.
It wasn't seen that way at the time, and it probably wasn't intended that way at the time, but it certainly is.
Yeah. Also, large amounts of those movies were like kind of shadow directed by his good friend Steven Spielberg.
Yes, exactly right.
And large amounts of them were like rewritten by the actors. Like
exactly
Harrison Ford wrote pretty much everything that Han Solo ever said.
I'm not saying that.
Because he'd go up and he'd be like, people don't talk like this, George. I can't say this. I'm going to say this instead. And then George would be like, okay.
Which is what all of them should have said in episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, that's fine.
Like, yeah, nobody talks like this.
See, Dave, it was a good thought.
Yeah.
No, Dave, you're not wrong.
I mean, okay.
There was, again, there's a spark there that set off a lot, but there's a lot of hackery in there, too.
But he also came up with Yoda, so come on now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's some good.
Not all bad.
Came up with lightsabers. That's cool.
You know what else I did last night? I was watching TikTok, and I'm sure you've seen these, where it's like Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, and it's the cartoon, and then they morph into an AI real human version.
Ugh, get that out of my face.
I am normally like that, but I watched like 20 minutes of this last night. and not like multiple ones. It was just like...
directed by George Lucas.
It just kept starting over again, and I'm like, oh, what Wilma look like? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm so tired of AI already, and I know that AI is going to be the rest of my life, so it's just kind of depressing. It's not going to go away.
No,
you know? It's going to be as common as every other piece of technology we use now.
Here's something kind of cool. So we have bioluminescent animals. We've all seen like deep sea creatures and things like that. Yeah. Guess what else they've discovered is bioluminescent? Your brain. That within your darkened skull, lighting up.
Kind of cool.
It lights up itself.
It makes sense, though. There's electricity.
And they think it has something to do with our cognition.
Oh?
The bioluminescent.
So when they say you're bright, they might mean it literally.
It could be.
But doesn't bioluminescence, like, always serve... Now, this is the stupidest thing I've ever said. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But doesn't it always serve some kind of, like... evolutionary purpose, like it helps you hunt or it helps you attract prey or avoid prey.
They think that it's not so much that it's just the basic essence of how it works.
It just happens.
It's electricity.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen because it has to. It just happens because it does.
It's a part of what it's, I mean, if electricity is going to be present, there will be sparks.
Yeah.
It's the result, not necessarily the evolutionary need.
Yeah.
Although, like, if you glow at the bottom of the ocean, that's pretty useful.
Hey, what if we do our Thursday podcast and all baby talk?
Nah.
Bioluminescence.
No.
Oh, now hold on just there, Doctor.
What's wrong with Andrew's baby talk?
Boy? Yeah, there's something wrong with your baby.
You sound like...
it's like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta work on that.
I don't spend a lot of time talking like a baby. Well, that's not true.
I'm just a baby. Baby Wabbit.
If we could
I think say what's up, Doc?
We could modify this in an acceptable way and all just talk like Elmer Fudd.
Wheeler's so terrified we're going to do baby talk.
Or you can go right ahead. I'll just be
it's
like,
the first thing
along.
I've seen you afraid
baby talk
of.
Time.
He's not going
to
do it.
He's afraid of the vulnerability required to talk like a baby.
Just say it like a little baby.
Not
he's like a little guy.
Not gonna do it.
Baby Wheeler.
Okay, AI
Baby Wheeler.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good use of AI.
That would be great.
Can we do it?
It would just be Cartman.
Yeah, that's what he's scared of. It's that Baby Wheeler is Cartman.
We all talking like this, and then little Baby Wheeler's like, "Angel Man, I hate you guys. Bad kitty. I can't believe they sent him down to AAA. Where are my cheesy boots?"
Welcome back to GGS on KMOX. 2:50. I probably shouldn't say this because it'll offend somebody. I don't want to see anyone get hurt, even our enemies. But have you seen the clip of the Iranian lady on Iranian state TV when the missiles hit? You got to watch it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's Iranian state TV. So there's the lady and in the whole garb, and she's just like, "And another thing to all you white monkeys out there following Christ, we're going to kick your asses up and down the Gulf and blah, 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 blah." And then you hear, and she just goes like, "Nyang, nyang, nyang," and she just goes running off. You watching it?
I don't know. It's playing, but I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Yep.
You know what?
There's something comedic. I'm sorry, but there's something very like slapsticky about it.
In my head, I was hearing, "Oop," right?
Right?
Oop.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, what was the guy's name in Iraq? I mean, everybody jokingly called him Baghdad Bob, but the guy that would say, like, "Everything's fine. We're winning. There are no Americans in Baghdad." Meanwhile, like, a tank is rolling behind him in the screen.
Right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, it's not about, like, you're right. It's not about the injury, and you hope nobody was hurt in those kind of things. But, like, it's also, easy to talk and not as easy to back those things up.
Mm-hmm. Better believe it. We're seeing it right now.
In general, we experienced that here too. We did a lot of dumb things in Iraq, for example. Afghanistan, we are like, we're going to roll right through there. Well, 20 years later, still trying to figure out how to get out of there without ruining everything and ruined anything.
No one rolls through Afghanistan.
No.
And kind of burying the lead on the show here today, we try not to talk about politics, but evidently all the headlines on television and on all the websites is that we are now officially in the war. I'm not sure what that means or why they're saying that. But I just keep seeing this. So,
I don't believe that's an official.
No, I don't think we've declared war, but something has happened.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just as simply as when Donald Trump was posting about Khomeini, he was saying we know where he is, that kind of thing. Mm. So maybe people just read into that.
Could be.
He posted to social media today. We now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran.
Yeah, so that's probably why it's gone that way, even though there's been no, at least that I'm aware of, no formal announcement of us joining in any official capacity other than helping an ally.
You know, another thing on another story, the shooter that killed the state senator. Rach, you've said this almost every time we have like a school shooting or something like this, but this one really gets to me. I don't care about this person. I think that the FBI should care about his motivation. They should go through everything with a fine-tooth comb so they can try to prevent the next one or to make sure this guy sees justice. But I hate every second that they show his face. I hate every second they say his name. And just the intrigue, you know, like this guy doesn't deserve intrigue. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deserve people being fascinated by him, even darkly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you would think we would have maybe learned our lesson when the Boston bomber was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. That might have, like, sobered up the general public.
I forgot about that.
But we certainly have an appetite for it. It's very sad to me.
And it doesn't help either that when we have things like this, we have children in positions of power. Like senators trolling after a politically motivated
what's up
shooting.
With Mike Lee?
I mean, like...
Do you see that, Rach?
Yes.
And to my knowledge, he has not appeared anywhere and apologized and said, I was a jerk and wrong. He just deleted the post.
Yeah.
But we've got that. We've got official government accounts trolling and talking trash to other people. Like, can you not at least act like you have the important job that you do? You don't have to make like you agree with everybody. You don't have to concede to your opponents. But you can be professional. I mean, since when do... Well, I say this. Since when do senators troll on social media? But, I mean, since when does the president do that? Or any other important person? You're always trying to own somebody. We're going to own MAGA. We're going to own the libs. Like, can we just grow up? If we had more grown-ups doing things, regardless of ideology, things would be a lot nicer.
Yeah, Amy Klobuchar said that, and Mike Lee did tweet this from his personal account, which I guess is slightly better than tweeting from his senatorial account, but it's still disgusting. Amy Klobuchar was like, I'm going to be saying something to him in person when I see him in Congress. I'm not saying like, Amy's going to take care of it, y'all, but more people need to do that. More people need to, in person, stand up for what is right and not let these people just hide behind their keyboard.
Mm-hmm. I want to say this right because I don't mean that I'm going to respect someone who does something dirty like that, where you're going to immediately go conspiracy theory on a news story before letting law enforcement figure out what exactly is going on. Which is, again, it's one thing if it's a bunch of bots or if it's a bunch of, you know, influencers who are just trying to troll and get clicks and all that. But again, when you're a senator, governor, representative, mayor, whatever your job is, you should be professional about how you handle these things and trust law enforcement first. I would at least have some respect for the people that do that if they would actually stand in front of the people they offended and either defend themselves or apologize, but they're cowards. Every one of them's a coward.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.